Well, good morning all. I must say you all look very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Isn't that fantastic? I love that bit in the first reading where it says the early believers were all united. Isn't that great? Yeah, fantastic. At the Easter Vigil last week, of course, we had the joy, the great joy of welcoming Holly and Simon into the Catholic faith. And an adult who converts to Catholicism naturally approaches it differently from someone who's born into it. Everyone's journey in faith is different and very personal. For some, of course, it begins with questioning the meaning of life. For others, it's a search for certainty, something they want to anchor their life to. But very often it comes from mixing with cradle Catholics for whom the faith is as natural as eating and drinking, whose very sense of belonging, you know, being part of a family, is an inspiration to those who feel that they have no spiritual home. And Simon has written a beautiful view from the pew which encapsulates much of what I've just said, and it'll be in next week's bulletin. But however we receive the faith, it's neither a birthright nor something that we can earn by intellectual effort. It's a free gift. It's a free gift from God for anyone and everyone who would like to receive it. But it is a gift that has to be opened and acted upon in the way that today's scriptures spell out. Love God, love your neighbour as yourself. Now, of course, it's pretty easy to work out how to love our neighbour in a practical way. We do it all the time, don't we? Food banks and things like that. But what about God? St. John says, loving God is keeping his commandments, one of which, thou shalt not kill, calls for all Christians, especially what's going on in the world at the moment, to be proud to proclaim their gospel faith as a better way than conflict for making the world a safer and more peaceful place. And being proud to proclaim our faith in public has a lot to offer because it knows how to cope with the problems of life. In a world that seems to have no cohesive strategy for the common good of all, and in many countries results in excessive nationalism or individualism. I had a funeral at St. Mary's earlier this week of a man I didn't know, but his sister had been to see me and she told me a little bit about him. The most striking thing she said about him was that he was proud of his Catholic faith. And I said, how refreshing it was to hear that, in contrast to what you hear from so many people in the media, for example, who say, I was brought up Catholic, but I no longer practice, don't have anything to do with that now. As if it was kind of a badge of honor, you know, to make them more acceptable in a non-religious and secular audience. Many people who reject the gospel trawl the internet or social media in pursuit of anything that may bring them happiness or self-worth, you know, judged very often by the number of likes that they can notch up. But we have to say it's not really working. Last Monday, I don't know if you heard the news, but the NHS revealed that in 2022 to 23, 86 million antidepressants were prescribed by GBs. What does that say? You know, it's 86 million antidepressants. Now, some will, of course, have been for genuine cases of clinical depression, but I suspect more of them were just people who were just going through a bad time, you know, which we all do from time to time. It's part of life. It's not really a mental health issue. And Scotland now has a hate crime law. Hatred is seen in thousands of innocent men, women, and children being blasted to smithereens in Palestine and Ukraine. Saying nasty things about people because they have a different point of view is hardly hatred. The two essential fruits of the resurrection are missionary witness and the sharing of material goods, as showcased in the first reading from the Acts there, when the whole group of believers was united, heart and soul. We know, as St. John tells us in the second reading, that through our faith we become children of God with a child's natural love for the Heavenly Father who begot us, as St. John puts it. So it makes sense that when Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment, he says the first commandment is to love God and then our neighbour. When we love in that order, you know, it's a bit like a beam of light striking one of those big dance hall revolving mirrors, you know, which diffuses light all over the place. You know, we're like millions of our fellow Christians. We want our love to be reflected in the good that we do in all directions, on all kinds of peoples, as an antidote to the destructive power of evil, which is so prevalent in our world today. But to do this well and to do it consistently, we need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we need absolute trust in the Lord, who, unlike Thomas, we can't see, but who we believe in. Thomas didn't trust his friends when they told him Jesus was alive, nor did he trust Jesus. He had to learn that a true loving relationship with God does not have to be subject to proof or scrutiny. Like Thomas, you know, many people want to understand before they believe, whereas it really should be the other way around. It's only when we accept that Jesus is truly alive and with us always that we then discover that our faith is beginning to deepen and mature as our reason begins to sift the evidence of the first eyewitnesses. And our relationship with Christ, I've said this many, many times before, is just like any human friendship. It grows and develops over the years through both joys and sorrows that we share, precisely because it's based on faith and trust. Faith in what we can't see is an everyday part of life's experience, and so is faith in God. As it says in the rite of baptism, after we renewed our baptismal vows, this is our faith. We are proud to profess it.